It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to a Friday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome into the show, courtesy of our good friends at Nelson Land Services, nelsonlandservices.com, five-star locally rated landscaping company with professional work, professional prices. And when I say professional prices, to me, that means they're good for me, good for them. Everybody's happy. The work gets done. That's our friends at Nelson Land Services. Let's welcome in everybody's favorite, Darren Kimball. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, nothing. Just on a gloomy old day hanging out. What's up with you, bud?
Well, we went from summer to fall. No break whatsoever. I mean, holy cow. So,
yeah, that's going to be interesting watching the ball players play in a little cold air. They'll have their oven mitts on for sure tonight, won't they?
Yeah, you like them oven mitts when they're running the bases. but this is good hockey playing weather here. I can handle this. you know, interesting game last night, and I know the schedule's been a little off this week just because of the you guys' schedules, but we felt we needed to come on here today because it's interesting to see I'm not saying the fans are restless by any means, but a gripe here or there to a team that just won a Stanley Cup and is 3-0-1, but last night's game was, I would say, not the cleanest, but I think we're gonna have some of these. I don't know if that's your thought, but I do know that they're not going to be happy with that game, probably, other than the fact that they won.
Yeah, I think they laid an egg last night, and but the good thing about laying an egg and is able to come back and win a hockey game. So that just shows you either the depth of your team, which we talked about previously, that you got enough talent that can pull that off, or vice versa, the team that you're playing really isn't they're on the lower end of the spectrum in the National Hockey League. So but interesting, right? Jake gets to play, and typical Jake hockey game last night. There were some big saves Jake made, stood on his head, and then lo and behold, he lets a bad goal in, and the team looks like they're just disinterested in playing hockey for the man again. So or it could have went. He might have let the goal in. Then he made some big saves. You know what I mean? But it was all in one. That's the way Jake's games go. And it was a sloppy affair. But like you said, you will have them kind of games. And the key to those kind of games is your team's good enough to win those kind of games. So that's a bonus. But you don't want to get into that habit too often, Cromes, because if you get into that habit playing that kind of crappy hockey, you will come up against a good team and it'll bite you in the ass.
Yeah, it's early. How long will we say it's early? That's kind of my thing, we've talked a little bit about some of the guys that, we've talked a lot about Sammy Blais. We've obviously talked about Bennington. Bennington did not play last night. David Perron, interesting. Here's a guy, I think, when people signed him, there was a little bit of rumbling about the contract and if we've been down that road before. And I think people like David Perron because I think once you're a Blue, you're kind of always a Blue type thing. But, the guy seems to score goals for us, especially, in games like that. He'll get a couple here and there. How about his play? What's your overall take on him so far?
Well, no, he's come. I think he's a guy that's, as far as the staying in shape process, I think, nowadays they all do that, but I think he's a guy that's on top of that. But you know, we've always talked about him. He could stick handle in a phone booth. This guy could. And last night he let a couple shots go. And I'll tell you, the goalie playing last night was an ex-Blue guy. The Blues had him at one time. And the Blues probably, on both of his goals, the Blues were probably lucky that they had it. Maybe he paid him back for getting him out of St. Louis so he could play in the National Hockey League, because he let some stinkers in. And so St. Louis was on the receiving end of that, which is kind of nice to have. But, you know, Perron's the kind of guy that I always say, when you watch him play hockey, as long as he doesn't hang on to it all day long, you know, he's gonna stick handle, and he's gonna try to beat guys. And when he beats one guy or something and he gets rid of the puck, that's when he's more effective than anything. And when he gets into a habit of sort of hanging on to the puck too long, I think he gets himself in a little bit of trouble. But you know, last night it was nice to see him. He shot the puck, and the puck goes in. Not the prettiest of goals, but it was on net. And anytime you shoot on net, you have a chance of scoring a goal, they say.
Yeah, I got a question from our friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Been texting him a little bit lately. He was he was really excited about the interview we did with his daughter Stephanie. And for those that if you may have missed that part, Stephanie Green is Randy Green's daughter. He sponsors the show, InnovativeCompanies.com. We talk about what a great man he is. We talk about what a great family he has. And he was very excited about the interview we did with Stephanie, because, you know, they're offering those discounts to the first responders in the military. And then obviously if you know somebody that's in need this Thanksgiving, they're looking to help people out with turkeys and things like that. But, you know, he called me and we were just talking, and he's like, you know, how you feeling so far? And we were just talking, and he brought up a name that I think when it's like this, people are going to start asking questions. And, you know, we're four games in, we got no goals from Vladimir Tarasenko. Now, you know, he's a polarizing guy because we expect him to do what? Score goals. So when he's not scoring goals, the first thing people start saying is, he looks disinterested. He looks slow. He looks like he's not giving an effort. You know, is it as simple as when guys like that are scoring, nobody questions their effort, but when they're not scoring, people question their effort?
Well, that's why he makes the big money, though, right? He makes the big money because he's their top goal scorer. That's what he's supposed to be. And but you know what? That's a hard job to do. I don't care who you are. You know, I get nowadays, and if you're on the power play all the time, even back whenever you're playing hockey, if you're a guy that plays on the power play, you're supposed to score goals. That's why you're there. You have the man advantage. You're supposed to score goals. And I think with Vladdy, especially last year in the playoff run, which was key, you know, he showed up. He played a little bit hurt, and he scored some big goals for him. And so I think he's a guy that I think the St. Louis fans, and I think they're sort of accepting the process that sometimes he's just going to go cold for a while. And, you know, he's not going to score, and he's probably going to look disinterested in the ball game. But I think when Lord Stanley was brought into St. Louis, there was a big reason. He was a big part of that reason too, because you know he was scoring goals. You can't take that away from him. But is he going to sit there and just go score every? He always takes time off. We know that, you know. And I don't mean by time off. He just doesn't score. I'm sure he wants to score all the time. Anyone that plays the game of hockey wants to score all the time. But you know, people target you sometimes, and obviously he's the guy that if someone's coming in to play the St. Louis Blues, they're going to know everything about Vladdy Tarasenko. His number is going to be up there circled, and they say, we got to make sure this guy doesn't score. So everybody, you know, you're playing the game. Everyone knows where he is on the ice at all times. It's just like back in the day when Holly played. And, you know, Holly was pretty consistent when he scored the 86 and I was here with him playing. He was consistent all the time. He didn't go into too many slumps at all. And that was one thing about Holly. But Vladdy sort of takes it off, and then he comes back. But that's the difference between scoring 86 goals and scoring 40 goals. You know what I mean? There's a big difference. It's a consistency factor that you got to run with all year. It's a tough job, man. There's a lot of pressure on you because the whole town's watching you. They want you to score. And like Randy, you know, you're talking to Randy when Randy's bringing that up, you know, and, you know, the people pay attention and they say, well, Vladdy, why isn't he scoring? So there's always, but there's a lot of factors that go into that. And there's confidence, there's injuries, there's people following you around the ice, queuing in on you. So, you know, it'll come around eventually. Now, if he's probably halfway through the season and he's got like five goals, I'd be really worried, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, some guys, he was a part, you know, he did step up, I felt like, when they needed him in the playoffs. The other guy, obviously, that stepped up in the playoffs that we haven't seen too much from. And listen, I, for all the fans out there going, holy cow, Jimbo, what are you guys doing? They're 3-0-1. Yes, they are 3-0-1. We're just talking here. Nobody's jumping off a bridge. Nobody's complaining, bitching about players. Nobody's doing it. We're just talking, stating some facts that, you know, people want to know what's going on. We're four games in. You know, Jaden Schwartz, guy that completely took a rough season and answered the bell in the playoffs. And, you know, we haven't seen much from him, I don't think, so far. And it's not for me on the stat sheet. Yeah, they're not showing up much on the stat sheet. Couple of assists for both of them. You know, it's just that, to me, and again, I've always said this about certain guys, and you brought up Brett Hull. To me, I just don't feel like you should watch a game or listen to, or even listen to a game on a radio and wonder if a guy played. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm at. Like, you knew Brett Hull played every night, whether he scored or not. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, Ryan O'Reilly, I mean, you don't have to look at the stat sheet and you know Ryan O'Reilly plays every night. Braden Schenn plays every night. Certain guys like that, and that's kind of where I'm going with this.
But I think, and I understand exactly what you're saying on this room. But here's what my thing. Here's the thing with the Blues, and I think for the first half of the season last year, you know, I think probably a lot of finger pointing was going on, a lot of bullshit was going on, and a lot of people weren't happy. And then when the Berube comes in and Binnington comes in. You know, I think maybe Berube got him, a lot of these guys, instead of pointing the finger at other people, maybe they started pointing it at themselves and said, what the fuck can I do better now? And I look at the Blues and the way they play, and it would be crazy the way you think about it, but back when, like, I played for, and I'm not comparing them at all, but when I played for Brian Sutter, we had, you know, you had Holly and Otey and these guys, but everyone else brought their lunch pail. And everyone else had a job to do. And we had the Green Bay line with Bobby Bass and Lowry and Richie Sutter. And they were supposed to shut down the top scorers on the team. And then you had the fourth line that was, you know, guys that would go out and make sure every the piece was kept and whatever was going on. And then you had Holly and Otey and them that they were the goal scorer. And then your second line was Brandon Moore. And these guys were, you know, they were the secondary scoring process. So there was always, everyone had a job to do. And I think that when Berube come in here, you know, it comes with confidence, obviously, too. But, you know, there's people that are doing their job. And I think that's what, you know, we go back to Tarasenko, we go to Schwartz. People don't really need them to score all the time because now Schenn's scoring, because O'Reilly's scoring. You got other people that can do the job. So all the weight doesn't fall onto one line with this hockey team. So you're going to go down the line and everybody plays. You know, Ruby's playing everybody. They're all getting minutes. You know, there's some other guys at the lower end of the spectrum here that are, probably aren't playing as well, but they're not as noticed because they don't play as many minutes as Tarasenko does, as Schwartz does. But I just feel everyone does their job, and it's a team game that they're playing. And I think, I know that's why they went on to win a Stanley Cup, because they believed in a goalie, but everyone bought in and everyone did their job. And I think that's the reason why they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. And I think that's why they're playing right now. It's not, I don't care. They're coming on the ice and they go, so Tarasenko's not going to score. Who cares? She's going to score. Or O'Reilly's going to score. Or Perron's going to score. You know, they got a lot of places they can go right now. So Berube doesn't just have to sit on one line anymore.
Yeah, it's a, you know, we've talked a little bit so far about the depth. I know Jamie, who won't be with us today, but you're more than capable, I think, of filling his shoes, I believe. So
yeah,
I was going to say, you're doing a fine job breaking it down. You know, he brought up the depth. We've talked a little bit about the depth and how they're kind of imposing that a little bit. And it shows, like, if you look at the game, the way they play the game, I do believe that that's probably in the end what's going to wind up being one of our strengths. A couple of the guys that provide that, I mean, we've talked about Sammy Blais, and, you know, he's really done well. But, you know, I look back and, you know, we're obviously a year removed from the beginning of last season, and obviously before the start of last season is when we traded for Ryan O'Reilly. But Ryan O'Reilly now has been a part of this hockey team for now over a year, and, you know, the guy is a constant player for the St. Louis Blues, game in, game out. So I ask you, I mean, we've seen some stuff go down in the NHL trades and guys go places and things don't work out. But could you even have imagined that? Here was my thing. I thought he was a good player before he went to Buffalo. And I'm not here to blame anything on the city of Buffalo, the team at Buffalo, whatever. But I always thought he was a good player before he went to Buffalo. I didn't think he was terrible in Buffalo. But, I mean, he's been amazing for us. Like on another stratosphere. Like, I can't even – it's hard to put into words.
I think – and by me saying, like, obviously he was the Conn Smythe, he won the Conn Smythe for him last year. So obviously he had a phenomenal playoff. Here's the thing that I liked about this guy. And, you know, you come in, they have a short summer, they come back, and people, you know, you're watching the news, you're watching the sports, and people are sitting there talking about so-and-so's staying on the ice extra line. He's over skating with another group. He comes over here, he works with a guy. I think he's taken on a big role in the leadership. And this, you know, but when I first got into the NHL and I was playing with Quebec, I'm just on off note right now, but Guy Lafleur was one of the best hockey players that I watched as a kid growing up. You know, he played for Montreal Canadiens. They won the Stanley Cups. He was a big scorer. He fly down the wing and had the big shot. And, you know, I love watching the guy on TV do this. But so I played with him in the Quebec Nordiques. He's 40 some years old, and I'm like, I'm a 20 year old kid. And he's out, the first guy on the ice, the last guy coming off the ice, still at that age. And you know, as a younger person that you're sitting there playing with, or you know, on the same team as him, you're looking at this guy and going, you know, maybe that's what it takes to play in the National Hockey. Now you're not going to be Guy Lafleur by no means, but you got to put in extra time to be a better hockey player. And I think O'Reilly brings that to the table. So I think there's a thing that probably Berube would really appreciates when you don't have to tell a guy to go on the ice, and maybe you need to work at this. Maybe get guys out there doing it themselves, getting better. And I think it's sort of, you know, he's happy here obviously now, and you know, and I think the Conn Smythe, when he wins that, and the number he's putting up and the ice time, the minutes he's playing, I think it's paying off for him. But it's not like he's sitting on it. He keeps working at it. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you got leaders that are staying on the ice and doing extra things, and they're, you know, they're showing great leadership, that's huge. That's huge for a hockey organization.
Blues head to the White House coming up here in a few days, and they will happen to be in Washington, D.C. the same time the St. Louis Cardinals are. And we've already heard that they fully intend on attending the baseball, seeing the players. I think it's trying to be arranged for them to do whatever. Pretty unique bond right now in this city between the two franchises. Obviously, I'm not going to say they mirror one another in their history, but I think, you know, both organizations taking an effort to include fans in everything that they do and make the experience awesome, and then the translation between the franchises as far as the fans go. I mean, it's a pretty good time right now to be a sports fan in St. Louis, wouldn't you say?
I tell you, when you back in the day when we played and Ozzy was around, and that, you know, once in a while you get to go to the ballpark, and you know, they acknowledge you in that, but the Blues were always, and I'm not saying they're on the same level as the Cardinals, because the Cardinals have been huge for a long time. They won World Series. They've got these, you know, Gibson, all these famous players. I think when the other clown owner that left town on whatever the way he wanted to leave town, and he caused all the turmoil with the other team, these guys sort of, the ownership of the Blues and the ownership of the Cardinals, they pretty well had a come to Jesus moment and said, hey, why don't we do this together? And I think that's just a credit to Mr. Stillman and the DeWitts, how they play this game, and they brought the whole community. Is sort of, we don't need to just cheer for the Cardinals. We don't need to just cheer for the Blues. You know, let's bring this whole thing together. And I think it's a great, the thing I like about it is I think it's helping the downtown St. Louis, though, because you got a soccer team that's going to be coming into town here pretty soon, too. I know that XFL is going to go, and we don't know how that's going to go. But the downtown St. Louis is getting a boost in the arm right now, a shot in the arm, where they need to get a little pick-me-up, because, you know, I think it was getting beat up a little bit down there, and I think maybe this is going to bring the town and get it thriving again, because you got two organizations. One just went and won a Stanley Cup. The other one's chasing down another dream. Players are involved. They're going to each other's events. Owners are involved. They're doing stuff together to try to help this community out. So, to be in St. Louis right now and to be a sports fan, you know, if you were a younger kid back in your day when you were you know, running and hitting the bars and doing all that nonsense. Things are going on down there right now, and if you love sports, I think this is one of, you know, Boston went on and won all, they had New England, the Bruins, and all these guys winning things, and now you got St. Louis doing it. So, and it's a smaller, you know, population wise. So it's just nice to see in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's been awesome, and I think that, you know, obviously the fans have stuck with the Blues through, you know, good and bad times, obviously, and Cardinal fans. I mean, yeah, you tend to think back to the last however many years. I mean, most recently they haven't made the playoffs and the fans get restless. But listen, fans are allowed to get restless when things don't go well. I think that's part of the deal. You played here and have mentioned many times that you wish that you would have been part of something here that got it done. I think most players feel that way, really, no matter where they go. But as fans embrace the fact that they have a Stanley Cup winning hockey team, you know, there'll be a period of almost like comparison. You know, this team will now be compared to a lot of other teams. And as they try to move forward this year, and I look at it, is that unfair or is that just the expectation now?
Well, I think it's got to be it's never unfair because your job is to play hockey. You know, the fans come and the fans, you know, they go work the 8 hour, the 40 hour week and the 8 hour job that a lot of these fans do. And, you know, they go to these sporting events, and these sporting events ain't the cheapest thing in the world to go to. So people are putting their hard earned money to come and watch entertainment and in a sport they love. And in a town where, you know, you talk about the St. Louis Blues that, you know, they hadn't won for a long time, but a lot of guys in communities that have lived here in St. Louis have give back. They've coached hockey teams. They've made appearances out there. You know, they've done things to the Blues. The Cardinals are the same way. They got a lot of people that stay in town, live here, and they sort of get back to the process, you know, to help younger kids out, to communities out. And it, you know, but that's what is expected of you. And I think if you're willing to do that, you go out and you know, help out other areas. It just makes the bond between the fan and the player even that much better. Even with retired guys around, you know, people are come up to you and talk to you. And as long as you're respectful of it, you know, and you talk, that's what they appreciate, because they pay their money. They wish they could be in that situation where you were. They want to know about those situations. So when people are out there talking about it and what it was like to do that, that makes it a lot for these fans that are doing that. And to see success, that's the icing on the cake right there.
Well, they'll be heading to Montreal. If you listen to any, you know, if you listen to any hockey player, Montreal's kind of the mecca, so to speak. You know, I guess for a fan that can't understand that, you know, describe that to us, like the thought process of playing in Montreal.
Well, I know for a Canadian kid growing up, and maybe not so much lately here, but in the past, being the Montreal Canadiens, because they've, I don't know the history, and I might be talking on my ass here if I say it, but they got to be one of the most professional teams that have won the most championships ever. They got to be right up there. It's 20 some, I believe, that they're at. And but just, you know, when you grew up back in the day, you know, you're growing up in a small town in Saskatchewan. You get three channels, and every Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada would come on, and that's Montreal was there. So that's broadcast all out to Canada, and so that basically would be. That would be your team. It would be either them or the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Toronto wasn't having the success that Montreal was when I was growing up. So it's, you know, Toronto was a little bit better earlier on, but never to what Montreal was. And they just, it was just such a, to wear the Hab jersey. It was such a, it was like they're like the New York Yankees, realistically, Chromes. You're into the baseball, but you either like them or you hate them. You know, it's just, you either get it or you don't with them. And that's what Montreal was. And if you ever played in those places, I played in Quebec City, which was a little miniature version of Montreal, but, you know, everybody knew who you were. Everybody knew what, you know, you could walk out, even if you were a fourth line player or a guy sitting in the stands, people knew who you were because they followed the sport. That's their number one sport. And everything revolves around hockey in Montreal. And so you know, they expected a lot out of you. And to walk in there to Montreal and look in the rafters and see all the banners that Stanley Cups that they had won and everything. And, you know, to play in the old forum, which you know, which you used to, like Dickie Irvin and them, they would announce the games, and you know, you walk around and you'd see guys once in a while that played the game. Steve Savard was there, Guy Lapointe, guys that I watched anyway. It's just that was it. You wanted to be a Montreal Canadian pretty well because you watch them on TV all the time. So that was the glory of watching them on TV and trying to get there. So, you know, now Toronto's come a long way. They're, you know, they're the media darlings, and they got, it's a different avenue. Montreal's not winning as much anymore, and so there's a lot of pressure in Montreal and in Toronto for a Canadian team to sort of come, and those are the two that they're trying to get it from right now.
You know, you mentioned the Yankees and the comparison, and I think it's a great comparison because even there were years when the Yankees weren't good, you know, back before they've kind of went on this spending run and everything that over the last, God, however many years. But years ago, you know, when they weren't great, it was still the Yankees. You know, it was still Yankee Stadium. And I think some of it is history. I think if you love sports, there's I'm not saying you have to, but there feels like for a real fan, if you love the Blues, you know, there's some connection in some way, shape, or form. You have some connection to the history of the team. We're very fortunate here that they do a good job of making sure that we remember that. I mean, I think most people, even though he hasn't played a game here in quite some time, are very familiar with Brett Hull. And then those types of guys have done a good job of reminding people about people like the Plagers, and you know, you talk about Bernie Federko and the Sutters and all that good stuff. So they do a real good job of that. I've often wondered though, for a Canadian, if there's a certain like expectation because your team is a Canadian team to perform at a different level, which I've always thought was unfair because the reality of it is, there's all kinds of Canadians playing for teams that are located in the United States, so it's not like it's the best Canadian. So, I mean, I think that's always been part of the deal for you guys with the Canada Cup. I mean, I always thought that was a big deal.
Yeah, I always like when the Canada Cup and all that stuff goes in the world stuff and that. I always go back to where I come from in Canada, but that's where I grew up at. So I always go there. That was my livelihood growing up in Canada, watching Team Canada, watching the Montreal Canadiens. You know, you go back, we didn't have all these satellites and shit where you could watch any game you want nowadays. We didn't have that choice. I could watch one game a week. And so it was the Montreal Canadiens in that. And then that's who you fell in love with back in the day. And, you know, going back to where the Yankees that we were talking about, Babe Ruth is my favorite baseball player of all time. And I didn't even get to watch the fucking guy play. I just have to watch old highlights of it. He wasn't even playing when I was around, you know, watching the game. But just to watch the stories on him and to watch who he was and the kind of player he was, and the more you read into it of how successful he was, even, you know, at that age of being a pitcher and hitting home runs and all that, I think the guy's remarkable. But being a Yankee, that sort of drives you towards if you were to play for the Boston Sox or the St. Louis Cardinals, and was that popular at the time? Maybe I would have went that way. But that's, you know, that was from a kid before I got to St. Louis. That's the team I like was the Yankee. And, you know, then the Toronto Blue Jays come along, and now that I live here, it's, you know, the Cardinals are one of my favorite teams too. But it's just, I think it's who's in your mind recently was what goes on with it. But I grew up doing that, and that's why I like the Dallas Cowboys. Those guys were on my mind. You know, they were there. They were the ones that we watched all the time. The Notre Dame. We watch them all the time, the Fighting Irish. So it just depends what kind of upbringing you were brought up in. And we go to St. Louis and we talk about it. When I played here back in the day, well, the kids that were being born in that time, Brett Hull is who they're going to talk about all the time because he was the best goal scorer in the game. Yeah, and he'll go down in history as one of the top five. So to be around at that time and watch that, people are just going to remember that their whole life, and that's why they attracted to the Blues. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd agree. When I think of that, for me, people will say it's a stupid argument when Gretzky's the greatest player ever. I was a Mario Lemieux guy. I loved Mario Lemieux. I thought he was, like, I felt like, and now again, it's part of it, but I always felt like if he was healthy I feel like he was the best player in the world. That's how I felt. But thinking about those two being on a line together in the 87 Cup against the Soviets, and, you know, you go back and the game-winning goal is pretty simple. You know, Gretzky to Lemieux, just like you would expect. And, yeah, you know, it's an amazing thing to think of for a Canadian because of the pride. Now, for a hockey fan in the United States, I think we always revert back to 1980 because it was an amazing thing. Like, you know, it was the whole David and Goliath thing, right? It's a little bit different when you're talking about playing the Canadiens with, let's face it, Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux on the same line. You're that good that those guys can play on the same line. Completely different ball game, but doesn't change the fact that the games are played by guys that are playing for their country. Did you ever have the chance to wear a jersey representing your country in any format?
Yeah, if I went and bought it at the store in Foot Locker and I was watching it on TV, that's what I had the chance of doing that with. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if there were things where like you played on some teams
realistically we didn't have a fucking Foot Locker, and realistically my bank account at that time wouldn't have bought me that jersey. So no, I sat there with a t-shirt on that was probably a hand me down, and I was watching Team Canada when you talk about when Lemieux scores a goal, I remember where I was and all that. I remember those times. And our buddies were there, and I was never so happy to jump. I jumped right out of my fucking seat when they scored the goal. You know, it was amazing. So, you know, but those are the things that you see, and that's what I'm trying to say. Whatever you were involved with, like, so St. Louis, this is a big time in St. Louis. People are going to remember this shit that's going on, and if the Cardinals continue down the road and, you know, and you knock on wood and hopefully they go through the process, they got as good a chance as anyone to get there right now. So it would just be an amazing time. You know, you go back to it and what's going on in St. Louis. It would just be amazing if they could follow through with this.
And that's kind of where I was going with the conversation. That's why I brought up Ryan O'Reilly, because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, we've had some great players in St. Louis. I mean, some talented players that become loved by the fans. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly is just, I mean, you know, he's to me, so far, he's been as complete a player, I think, as you could ask for that we've had. I mean, he's all around a really, really good player. And then you add in, obviously, I think they're talented up and down, but then you add in this Jordan Binnington thing, and I'm looking at him, you know, and he's 2-0-1 with a 2.3 and a 928 save percentage. I mean, again, three games. I get it. I'm not here to anoint him to anything. But, you know, you had questions coming in because you're wondering like anybody normally would. So it's been a good start. I mean, I would expect them to go into Montreal and you know, listen, nothing's guaranteed. I would hope they could go in there and handle their business. But, you know, I guess in the end, if you're going to lay an egg, so to speak, and still win a game, I mean, isn't that a positive?
No, it is. And that's what I said earlier. That's if you can win when you're not at 100% and you're winning games, you know, that's good. The thing with what they've done here, you know, they come home and they had the banner raising and all that, where it's I can only imagine what the players were going through at that process. And, you know, they get a shootout loss there, didn't they? Am I correct on that one?
What's that? And
then they get a shootout loss on the banner.
Yes.
Didn't they lose that?
Yes.
So they get the shootout loss, but then they get Dallas and they beat them. They get Toronto. They go into Toronto. They beat them. The thing that they've done here, so they sort of held serve at home on all the expectations that were going on. They're getting their rings. They're getting the banner raising. You know, people are all fired up over this. The good thing, I think, about the schedule that's going to help them out here through this process is now they got out in the road. And so they're out in the road, and, you know, any sports person that will tell you when you play sports, and especially nowadays, it sort of draws you together. You have to be with each other. You know, when you're at home in St. Louis, you don't have, you can hang out with whoever you want. You don't have to go, but you're on the road. You sort of tend to, you know, go eat restaurants, and you're on the buses together. You're on the planes together. You're playing a lot of hockey. You're sort of being a family. You're always together. And that's, you know, any sport that you play, people always talk about, you know, getting out on the road and getting, especially new, if you had a lot of new guys, it would really help. I know the Blues aren't going through that process. They only got a couple of them, but still, they're out in the road playing together, and they're being together all the time. So there's not a lot of distractions going on. I think that's going to help them out through this process.
You know, obviously everybody's about four games in. There's probably a couple teams maybe that have played three. I don't know if anybody's played five. Anything stand out to you so far, four games into the season, that you've seen that made you scratch your head? Or, you know, honestly, I'm looking at the standings, and again, four games in, you know, Buffalo Sabres sitting atop the Atlantic. You know, San Jose Sharks sitting at the bottom, you know, Minnesota Wild, Chicago Blackhawks, no wins, but, you know, Dallas Stars 1-3. I know we kind of felt like they were going to be good. I mean, it's early, obviously, but anything stand out to you so far? Anything you've seen that's made you scratch the head a little bit?
I thought New Jersey, you know, I thought they made some key acquisitions down the road, and they're winless right now. The Edmonton Oilers, you know, he's in the debate if he's the best hockey player in the world right now. He's, you know, he's right there.
He's tied for first.
Yeah. So he's, you know, they're sitting there. They haven't lost yet, I don't believe either. So they're cruising along. You got Colorado, who I think is going to, you know, I think them and Dallas and the Blues, you know, I don't know who's going to come out of this side, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a dogfight between those three. All Colorado's got a hell of a team there. They got that one line. If it stays together, they're phenomenal. They just beat Boston. Boston, that was their first loss, I believe, of the year. So Boston's come out and they're answering the bell. They're playing well right now. So Philadelphia's playing really well. They're undefeated. So you're in the making, but it's always key. You know, guys always told you back in the day when I was playing, the first 20 games, you're sort of, you have to be ready to play the season. You know, these are valuable points. You come out and you try to get these points on the board and it makes it easier for you down the road. So, you know, the first 20 games you're coming out, you're trying to put yourself in an area where you can, you know, you're in the playoff run. Your numbers are, you're not sitting at the bottom of the pack. So later on in the season, you're trying to win games, or you have to win games, or you're falling out of the process. You know what I mean? So these points early are huge. And, you know, these teams that are coming out right now, you know, I know Buffalo's up there, but, you know, Buffalo did that last year too. So can they maintain it? I don't know. That's the question that's going to be answered after about 10 games. Can these teams maintain what they're doing as the ones like Colorado's, the Dallas's, the Blues, and that? You expect them to be there at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've always thought that, you know, as we've seen it over time, and again, it's just an opinion, but it always seems to me like it's hard for teams to pull away because of the tie, because of the points. You know, a team gets a point and then they can go lose in overtime and the other team get, but the team that lost got a point still. So it just seems like it gets harder and harder and harder to pull away from people at times. And, you know, playing for a tie sometimes, like, you know, I know it gets compared to kissing your sister, so to speak, but the reality of it is points are valuable.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's hard to go on because there's so many faces of change. There's so many new guys that are coming in, so many expectations of certain teams. And, you know, with the Blues where they're at, you sort of knew what they were going to be like, basically, because they brought the same team back, pretty much so, the same team sitting there. So now it was just a matter if there was a hangover going on through the process or, you know, did they get enough rest? Can they get up and running? Does the magic continue? And so far, yes, it does. So that's a good sign for Blues fans. That's a good sign for the Blues. You know, they're I like when good things are happening with them right now because I believe they got an ownership in Steelman here who, you know, everything this guy does, he's turning the right card over every time, and he's just doing the right things, and he's been getting everybody involved. You know, even with the Stanley Cup, it shows up at a lot of rinks this summer. It was, you know, a lot of people got involved. We're going on the Illinois side here. You know, it was over at Fast Eddie's and that. So people are getting to see it. So they played a lot of good things. And so you like to see people that do nice things for the city and include the city in the process. You like to see them be rewarded. So I'm glad the Blues are off and running here, and hopefully they can continue this process.
It's been amazing. It was running around our town the other night. Showed up at Mike Shannon's and wound up at Fast Eddie's. I think it made an appearance at the homecoming parade here in Edwardsville. I know one of the Blues execs lives here in town and made that happen for some of the communities, especially the Edwardsville ice hockey team. So it was, you know, it's just, again, I don't, you know, we've never won it before. So I think you always just kind of thought, well, the cup, you know, was around, and if you got lucky, you got to see it. But I mean, they're doing a bang up job of making sure that everybody gets a chance to see it. And I jokingly say everybody but me, because you volunteered, you called and offered to let me come with you to your practice so I could see the cup, but I was unavailable. So I can't blame the fact that I wasn't offered a chance, because you did a nice job and I appreciate that. But obviously I was working. But that being said, it's been an amazing thing, and I agree with you. It's an amazing time to be a Blues fan right now, and people are going to remember this, and that was why, like, I just feel like, again, I know Vladimir Tarasenko is a goal scorer. I know Alex Petrangelo is the captain, and, you know, I feel like everybody's probably happy with the way he appears to have raised his game, but it just seems to me like right now, and this is no disrespect to any of those other guys, Ryan O'Reilly's the guy. That's to me, he's the guy. And I don't think you have to wear a C on your chest all the time to lead. And I think this is a prime example of what you were talking about. So,
you know, it takes, and I include Mr. Shen on this list too, the way he's come out of the gate here. You know, he got the new contract, but he's responded the right way. But I, you know, you don't, even, even kids that are growing up, you're going through the high school process, or you know, you go through juniors, you go through house hockey, whatever you do. And there's always a moment in time where people, and I went through it myself, Chrome, so I'm not trying to say people do this, but everyone was worried about who the captain was going to be on the team, who the assistant was going to be on the team. And, you know, a lot of the times it goes to the better players, a lot, not all the time, but a lot of the time it does. And I get it. You know, that's the way the process works out. But the guys that toe their weight, that aren't recognized as a leader, and that those guys there, because if you're up for the to be a captain or assistant, you know, you're being talked about in there. And if you're not in that process, how you react to that after they're named and all that, shows a lot about the person you are. It shows a lot about the character you are. And I think that's where, you know, with the Blues, you got a lot of guys that don't really have the letter on there, but they're leaders in their own way. And I think successful teams are the ones that buy into that shit. So, you know, yes, you need captains. Yes, you need people to lead the process. And the Blues got good ones. I'm not knocking that at all. I'm just saying the ones that don't get them, how they react, because they could turn south and they could hold that grudge and say, why wouldn't I? And that could fight in their brain for a long time. But if they do it the right way, and their time will come, and if they keep doing it, pushing forward, which I think the Blues do, and I think O'Reilly is a prime example. He's on the ice early. He's working with people. You know, I think it's just I think there's a future for him down the road as one of the guys that will wear a letter. But he's not right now, but he's doing the right thing still.
I've talked to Jamie a little bit about synergyhockeyskills.com, his wonderful group there that does so much for the young players in the area and outside the area that come and choose to train there. And we always encourage everybody to check out synergyhockeyskills.com. But we've talked a little bit about the pickup and the amount of kids and the interest level after the Blues win a cup. You know, you're out in that community. You coach high school. You coach, the AAA hockey. You're in the rinks quite a bit right now as you get rolling. How's the atmosphere in the rinks? Is it different than it was a year ago, so to speak?
I think for sure that is. You know, we're just getting going here, and you know, I was just out last night at a hockey practice out at East Alton, and the group that was on before me was the Twin Bridges group, and our high school hockey was 8:45, but they had a full ice, full sheet ice, and probably 40, 50 kids out on the ice, and you know, kids are having fun, and that's, you know, they get, if you can get them involved at a young age, they'll love this game. And that's what it went back to many years ago. Again, I go back to when Holly was here. You know, there was a core that come out of the Holly era that when he scored, everybody got involved with his game, and those kids are sitting there, and they follow through, and now they won the Stanley Cup, and you know, there's another crew coming, because it's going to be, you know, you're a kid at school and you see people wearing jerseys all the time. And it's just, there's going to be an uprising here. And I, it's almost like electrifying when you walk into a rink. There's like a little buzz going through the thing. And I think that just shows that there's a lot of people getting involved in this process, and you're going to see a big uptake, because every rink I go over to St. Peter's, that's where the Carshield team plays out of. And you know, their organization, who's, I think, got the biggest numbers in town. They're pretty close to it. You know, their ice is, there's hundreds of kids on the damn ice, and they're just rolling. So there's a lot of involvement right now. So Mr. Rivers, he's probably got a lot of them that he takes care of through his process and with extra training and that. And, you know, I think it's just a nice thing to see going on in St. Louis right now.
Well, if there's one thing we know about you, you've always been proud to have played for the St. Louis Blues. I'm sure there's, and I say this and I mean it, you know, they're for you, Rivs both. I mean, they're not that you ever didn't. You guys were always proud to have played here. You guys always wished you could have done more when you were here. But there's a little different pep in your guys' step lately, and I'm sure that most of the alumni feel that way, and most of the people that feel connected to the team. I mean, it's a true family almost, and I think that's why fans adore this hockey team. And I think it's great. I mean, I think back to some of the ups and downs, and you know, you and I have talked about it, that we talk about the shows that we did where it seemed like it was a broken record, right? It was the roller coaster. It's like, you never knew what you were going to get. The team was up and down, and you know, they'd play so well and you'd think they were turning a corner, and then they'd be bad for a while, and then you'd wonder what the heck was going on. And you know, listen, we're not even a year removed from us doing shows talking about selling off guys. You know, do we trade Petrangelo for this? And is it time for Tarasenko to go? And you know, what are we going to do about the coach? And, you know, and here we are in less than a year's time. We're talking about the change that a certain group of guys have made on a whole community, much less hockey in general. So,
yeah, but that, and, you know, it started at the top. Like, I mean, we mentioned earlier, Stillman, what he's done, he gets it. You know, he's running an organization, and they're doing the right thing. They're involved in the community, so it's you know, that's where it starts at. And then, you know, when we're talking about, like, go through the synergy thing, I just noticed it through my kids that I coach at Carshield. So I got kids now that are 15 years old. I got a high school team here I coach in Granite that, you know, range from 14 or whatever to 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that area. But, you know, they're eager. There's not a dullness going through there. They're out there right now. They're at their age right now, especially my 15-year-olds over in Carshield. They're at the age right now where, you know, you either shit or get off the pot pretty soon if you're going to move on in the hockey world. And, you know, you play the game because you love it, obviously. But when you're playing competitive hockey and you're playing AAA hockey, you know, there's a certain period of grace that you got. And, you know, you're from 15 to 18 years old is basically if you're going to get to juniors or if you're going to get to a D3 school or D1 school or some kid might even travel all the way up the ladder. I don't know that. But, you know, these are the years where young kids that you were coaching, like with Lawson, when he was walking up this thing, I've known a lot of these kids for 5-6 years now, and to see how they've developed and where they're at right now is, you know, it's a neat thing because they're becoming young men, and to see that what the Blues did, it sort of brings it home a little quicker that they can't, and I'm not saying they do. It's a hard thing, you know. 1% of the numbers are crazy. What it takes to make the National Hockey League, but if there's not dreams out there, then you're walking through this world aimlessly. You know, you're just going through you need to dream about something. So that's where these kids are right now. If they can get somewhere and be part of it, it's a pretty neat little thing.
Yeah, it's interesting for you to bring that up. I've talked about it a little bit on other type sports and things like that. I would be curious your thoughts real quick before you go on the dream killers. And what I mean by that is, you know, the people that want to remind everybody real quick that they're never going to play in the pros. And it's interesting that most athletes that have played in the pros are completely against that. I mean, they'll tell you all the time that, yeah, you need to be realistic with people, but why in the world would you want to tell a kid, you know, you're never going to be in the pros? I've always compared it to, when people bring it up to me, because, you know, we've had serious baseball stuff and that going on, I always say, well, what's the message then? What do you want me to tell them? Do everything half-assed then because you're never going to make it to the pros? Is that the message?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, listen, that will all play itself out. I don't see any need to remind a 10-year-old kid or a 15-year-old kid that's busting his ass every day. No matter what you do, you're never going to make it to the highest level. I just, like, you know, but I also don't think you need to be in the air going, let's go, we got to make the pros. I get it, right? Like, it's probably even harder for a guy like you who has a son playing a sport that you played in the pros in. So it's probably even harder.
Well, you know what, though? It's the thing, and this is my philosophy on all, it's probably harder on your kid than anything. And what Lawson's done, I take my hat off to the kid because he gets a lot of shit. And, you know, the ride's home and dad's not in a good mood. And it might not be because of Lawson, but he takes a lot of shit a lot of the times. And I was always a person that always brought my work, and I mean work, my hockey. I always brought it home with me, and you know, I wish I never did that. And it's a hard thing to do. It's, you know, people bring their work home, and I get it, man. If shit's not fucking going the right way, you bring it home, and you need someone to, you know. That's why my famous saying was, everyone's always looking for an answer at the bottom of that brown bottle. Well, there's never an answer there. You can drink as many as you want. There's never an answer for what you're going to go through in life, and My philosophy on coaching, though, and I've sort of been a hard coach with it, though, due to the kids. And the reason I did that, but that's how I was brought up. So it's not that and you don't just sway kids, but you know what's out there. You know you need to work your ass off for everything you got. And I always tell my kids, I said, it's just not hockey, guys. I said, the real world where you got to go to a job, someone's going to want the same job you're going to want eventually, you know, if you want to make a decent living in life. And you're going to have to fight that guy. Not, and I don't mean fight, but you're going to have to put something on the table to show that you want that job better than that guy does. So that's where I try to teach my kids. It's like to be competitive. And, you know, sometimes you got to yell at them and that. But you know, it was a lot worse off back in the day when I was there. They didn't went a lot farther, and it didn't bother me, but I know you can't do that nowadays in the world because there's so much shit that goes on. But you got to sort of tell a kid, you want them to dream, but you can dream as much as you want, but you got to work at it too. And maybe the dream doesn't come true, but it'll come true in life, because if you've learned how to work, you can take that to another avenue that might not have been sports that you were involved with, but it might be another avenue that you could sort of bring your family up and that's how you pass it on down the line. That's what it got done to me. It got passed on down the line. So, you know, I'm not creating nothing. I'm not a genius or anything, but I go and I want my kids to work. I want them to realize, and I compliment them when they get, when they succeed in something, when they win games, but it's because of the work. You got to put the work in if you're going to get better at anything. And you know that in baseball or anything, that's the way it goes.
Well, shoot, man, I'm ready to go play now. You got me ready to go.
But, you know, it's just, that's the way life is, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
no, you're
I'm
right.
Sure in baseball, when you're coaching your kid, if you're coaching your kid in baseball, some other kid's pissing you off all day long and just, you know, and you're riding that 20-minute, 30-minute drive home. I have more conversation with Lawson than I do with anyone else in the world, because he's the guy who's right with me all the time.
Yeah.
So, and I'm fortunate for him on that bit, but, you know, he's been a good kid about it, because he's sometimes he gets shit for it, and I try to point out things to him, and not just my practices, but, you know, he'll show me a video, so I'm like, oh, well, then why wouldn't you do it a different way, or why didn't you do this, or I ask him questions, and, you know, he don't like my answers all the time, and I have a hard time. You know, we get into a little bit of a spat here and there, but
that's okay. We don't like our kids' answers all the time, do we?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, but it's great. You know, you got to share this moment with someone, and I think that's what hockey's been to me. I've been able to share an experience with my family, you know, Lawson especially, and you know, my wife does it with her daughter in the music business and in cheerleading and all that, and that's the avenue that my wife went down. So they're experiencing something on that side, and you know, you try to get to your other kids' events all the time. Because you want to include the whole family, and it's tough nowadays because you're always on the go, man. The travel teams, they go all the time.
Yeah, and that was kind of the thing. I mean, we're creating something here, and I think the Blues have created something that a lot of fathers, sons, daughters, mothers too, they're going to be a part of something for a long time. So it's good stuff, and I appreciate you carrying the ball today, man. You went all the way. You didn't just carry the ball. You took it over the goal line. I appreciate it greatly. And we can't thank, I know our good friends, the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com, for always bringing you to our listeners. Of course, SynergyHockeySkills.com and their wonderful help within the amateur community, as we talked a little bit about that today. And I know, you know, if you're hungry and with this weather moving in, it's Adam Smokehouse time. I know that'll make you hungry, but like I said, head on over today, order a Kimball. That's where you, you know, you get yourself a meal, get your buddy a meal, and send the bill to Darren. That's the Kimball.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, what you got?
So when Randy called you,
yeah,
did he say anything about some guy with his hat pulled down, not trying to show his identity out there, trying to get free turkey? Is he trying to do that yet?
Not yet. No, he didn't say. No. He didn't say Rivs called with anybody, and basically giving him his address to go ahead and send him the turkey to. No, he didn't.
Because you know he's going to do it. So that's I'm just waiting for it. Because he'll probably be at the rink trying to – he'll be giving away free turkey saying it's from him. That's what the kind of shit he pulls.
Well, listen, I'm here to tell you. It's not a joke. I'm no question. I've lived the Rivs. I mean, I literally went there to introduce him to Mike, and he ordered. I paid. And he goes, oh, you know what? I need to take some brisket home, and ordered some brisket and took it home. I never seen that. Never once reached for his back pocket. Never said, Chromes, let me get you next time. Nothing.
I'm sure one of his jerseys out there that he played hockey in, I'm sure it's got alligator arms on the back for his name. I'm positive it will.
Oh, my Lord. Good stuff. Well, hey, listen, man, I appreciate you covering it up for everybody today, getting the job done. I know the listeners love you. You know, they love hearing everything you have to say, but it's a great time to be a St. Louis Blues fan. Pretty simple. But hopefully there's even better things ahead. We'll see where we go from here. Like I said,
I'd be curious right now, though.
20 games in, that's your number, huh?
I know we're pushing. I would even say you start to see 10. Some of these guys are going to get off a good start. Can they maintain it or not? And can they maintain it to 20? Because if they can, then it's a thing. But right now, I'm not being a spoiler here, but I'm all about the birds right now, man. I see the You got the Berube speech on, the Schilt speech on. I love both of them. I don't know, understand the word they're using there, but they use it a lot, and I like that. It's just, the identity that's going on with these two men, and you know, tonight's going to be I'll be sitting watching it. I know that right now because I'm into these Cardinals right now, man. It's pretty neat.
You've been in locker rooms. As far as the car, I mean, most people know I do the Cardinal show with Benji Molina. You know, we've talked a little bit about it off the air. I know we're going to talk about it today. The issue with the speech. Now, listen, I can't speak for Mike Schilt. Like, you know, if it was you or anybody else, you may not care. You may understand if the organization came to you and said, hey, look, it's a bad look with all the F-bombs. Can you just – sure, absolutely. Or maybe personally you don't like it out there. The bottom line is for the team and everything, I think the real issue is that – this is what I've been telling people. You can't compare the two speeches because Craig Berube was talking about his team and what he expected from them. You know, Mike kind of addressed another team – gave a little bit of fuel for fire. Not only the team you just played, now you're talking about the teams you're going to play. That's the competitive. Did you get that too? That's the competitive part of it that I think the Cardinals would rather have not been out there.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't care if you're playing ball around Edwardsville, Granite City, St. Louis, and you're playing old senior baseball around here. Everyone has that competitive fucking edge in them. And He sat there and spoke exactly. That's why people like Brett Hall in St. Louis, because Brett Hall speaks what he fucking means. And you never know what's coming out of his mouth. You never know what's going to happen. Craig Berube, they put the camera on him. He said what every other hockey player in the world, and I know would want to be saying at that moment. And you get some colorful words, but everyone knows those words, so it's no big deal. I got nothing wrong with what the man did. I think he had emotions riding on there. They had a guy throwing a ball up by close to a guy's head. And, you know, there's a lot of shit grinding through a manager. You know, it's not like you can send a guy out there and fight. You know, that shit doesn't go on. So, that you need something to motivate people. Even though they're making millions of dollars, there's still a motivation factor in there. And I think that's where he was coming from. And what he was saying was, we're not just fucking done here. We got another fucking group coming at us, too. So we got to get to there. So I think he was just trying to keep them – in the meantime, how pissed off he was, but he was still wanting to focus on what's coming ahead of him. That's the way I took it, and I got nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I think most would agree with you. Now there's going to be some that don't, but that's fine too. But entitled to their opinion.
I don't care about that.
You don't. I'm sure they don't.
They've never played a fucking sport in their life. They've never thought with that. What Berube said and what Schilt said. You've never played a fucking sport in your life, or you've never been competitive. If you don't get what they were trying to do, you have no competitive fucking bone in your body is what's going on there.
Well, good stuff. I would expect nothing less from you. I'm sure you've been on the receiving end of some of those speeches. I'm willing to bet you may have given one or two in your day.
You try. But it's, that's where coaches make their hay at. That's what they're there for. They're there to pick you up. They're there to, you're there to motivate people, and you're there to kick people in the ass also. So that's what a coach is. You're basically a parent when a parent isn't there and they enter into a sport, but you become a parent of all the kids. So, hopefully no one's slapping anyone, no one hit nobody. None of that shit was going on. A person was just speaking with emotion, a word that every household in this country has in it. So, I got nothing wrong with it, man.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate you carrying the ball today. I'm sure we'll reconvene next week. We'll have all kinds of stuff to talk about, I'm sure. But I agree with you. 20 games in, I think, is a fair time to do a full-blown assessment on where we sit, and that includes everybody. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly included, Vladimir Tarasenko included, Jake Allen included, for his role, which he is on this team now, which is a backup goaltender. I think we can evaluate them all 20 games in. I appreciate you joining us, and I know we'll get with you next week, but go take care of yourself, have a good weekend, and enjoy some of this nice, cool weather.
Yeah, and go Cards, too.
Yeah, go Cards, go Cards. All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
Talk to you soon. The great Darren Kimble joining us. And again, I appreciate him filling in as no Jamie Rivers today due to the time constraints on the show. But we can always count on Darren to give us his honest opinion. And you're going to get nothing less from the man, the myth, the legend, Darren Kimble. You know, one of the best parts of this whole thing of being a fan and loving, what we do here at Blues NHL Podcast and trying to incorporate fans' thoughts and fans' opinions, and social media is such a big part of it, is I love this segment that we do each week with Dennis Minner. Everybody's familiar with Minner Arena and what a great man cave he's got there, and it's awesome. And we do a show there every year and usually try to make it special. But, he's a passionate guy that is never shy about his opinion on the Blues, and we love his passion. And it was awesome to follow the Blues through the Stanley Cup, through the thoughts and mind of a guy that lives and breathes when it comes to St. Louis Blues hockey, lives and dies with it, folks, just like all of you do, and loves it, and is just a big kid at heart like the rest of us. And I like his takes. Love it. Whether I agree with him or disagree with him doesn't matter. He does a great job, and his passion is second to none. Want to thank one last time our friends at Adam Smokehouse for making this segment popular, located on Watson Road, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Take it away, my man.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. Give me a follow on Twitter at Minner Arena, and I am brought to you by the one and only Adam Smokehouse. Also, make sure and go give them a follow on Twitter as well. And hey, just a reminder, guys, they're only 6 miles away from the Enterprise Center. Did you realize that? So there's never any excuse that you can't go grab some amazing, amazing barbecue from Adam's Smokehouse right before any of the Blues games. And, you know, they are celebrating just this past week 6 years in business. It's absolutely incredible, incredible. And if you go in there and eat, you'll understand why they have been in business that long. So, hey, first of all, I have the flu. I'm running 101, 102 temperature right now. Yeah, so if my normal excitement voice isn't quite as there, that's why. I'm trying to be excited. But I did watch the game last night, even though while I was sick. I think it's pretty incredible as a fan to see these guys have 7 points their first 4 games is just absolutely incredible. Look, last night we can pick the game apart, and I know everything's probably already been said on all the pros and cons. But one thing that I do want to mention is that, again, this is from a fan base perspective, is – look, I'm not a Jake Allen lover or hater. I hope he does well when he plays, and I don't want him to get traded. I think having Jake Allen as your backup is pretty awesome. But there's a couple things I don't get. One is the team clearly plays different in front of Jake Allen. It is clearly a different team. I don't know if they have this sense where they just have to play tighter and that, you know, just doesn't give any margin for errors or what. But, I was really glad to see the team step it up. You could say it was a bad bounce, whatever, when Jake was out of position on that first goal. But what I wanted to talk about, though, was Twitter. Oh my gosh. Some of you guys that are listening right now, if you don't have a Twitter account, it's worth it just to go watch Blues Twitter when Jake Allen's playing a game, because people absolutely implode. There is no middle ground. It's either you hate Jake Allen or you love Jake Allen, and both sides. It's like freaking Republicans and Democrats, man. There is no middle ground when Jake Allen is playing. But like I said, I hope that him getting that win last night gets him some confidence. Yes, there was quite a few goals scored, and you can throw some of them on him. But hey, it says a lot for our offense that they did step up and grabbed 6 goals. So. That's what I'm happy for. And, I want to give a shout out to someone, and that is, her name is Natalie. I think everyone knows who she is now. And in fact, most of us didn't even know it was a girl, until about a week ago. And that's, on Twitter at STL Cup Tracker, at STL Cup Tracker. Absolutely the coolest thing that Natalie did, at the beginning, of our, tour with the cup was she started this account, and it allowed literally thousands of people opportunities to go see the cup. And I think that speaks so highly on this girl. I don't know her. I've never met her personally. I follow her on Twitter, just like, I think she's got, 11 or 12,000 followers. But I challenge you right now, when you're done listening to this, go look up STL Cup Tracker and look at all the thanks from fans. And to me, that has been the coolest thing, to see with the Blues winning, the Stanley Cup, is how fans have come together to help each other out. and all the fans that have been thanking her. And apparently, I mean, she has to spend a lot of time following and tracking the cup where it is. But up until last week, she hadn't even seen the cup, which I thought was really ironic. And the Blues surprised her and brought the cup to her office. And just the coolest thing. But Natalie, I want to personally say thanks for all your hard work and everything you have done for so many Blues fans. I think that has just been so cool. I think it was Joe Vitale that was on the radio the other day that said there's 2.8 million people in the St. Louis metro area, and at least 2.3 million of them have been able to take pictures with the cups. And I got to say, probably 2 million of those were because of Natalie. So, Natalie, great job. Hey, again, this is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena, and we are once again brought to you by Adam Smokehouse. Go give them a follow. And hopefully next week I still won't have the flu, and I'll feel better and be a little bit more energetic. So, hey, guys, until then, let's go Blues.
Great stuff from Dennis there, and we appreciate his segment. And as always, brought to you by our friends at Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do deliver to certain areas. They do box lunch orders, and, of course, they do a wonderful job with catering. Go down there, eat in the location there on Watson Road. Enjoy the atmosphere, the smell. Oh, my God, the smell of that place when you walk in. You'll order twice as much food as what you really need, but that's okay, too. Take it home with you. Like I said, we always order the ribs where you take a little bit home with you, but the reality is it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's my good friend and yours, Mike, located on Watson Road, Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. One last time, thank you to Darren Kimble for carrying the load today as Jamie Rivers is out. I appreciate Darren and his thoughts and opinions. He does a great job, and it's tied for first, in my opinion, here on the show. To all of our partners, again, Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial, Randy Green's got you covered. He's the name you know and trust, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. As always, Synergy Hockey Skills is there to help you improve your game. Your young one, boy, girl, adult, young, old, doesn't matter. If you're interested in improving yourself within the game of hockey, SynergyHockeySkills.com is right there for you. So make sure you guys check them out. To our friends, the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated company with reasonable prices, and they do just a wonderful professional job that is second to none. That's our good friend, the Nelson family. That's NelsonLandServices.com. Appreciate everyone and everything they do for us to make this show possible. It's coming off a banner year, and I think we're going to have another one as well. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.